Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining us in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarenko.
Do you have a different microphone?
It sounded good,
didn't it? How did you do that?
I have no idea.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Derek, did we upgrade our equipment?
I want that software. I want that software.
Sometimes it just comes out right, you know?
That's my I found my radio voice. It only took me 8 years to find it, but there it is.
You set the bar.
Okay, well, anyways, welcome to The Drift, and what we do every Saturday is go over the news.
You threw me off there.
I threw myself off.
Can we do it? That you need to know.
Okay, there we go. Woo! See what I tried to do something a little different, and I just screwed everything up. Well, anyways, if you're not going to thedailydrift.com, you should. It's the news you need to know. You know? Between the two of us, we can't get it out. www.thedailydrift.com, news from around the globe, across the country, and even sometimes here at home.
It's what?
It's?
The news you need to know.
There you go. All right. So anyways, lots going on this week. Right?
Yes, yes. Okay. So, makes the head spin going on.
Yeah, so before we do that, though, let's take care of a little business. If you're getting up in age a little bit, or if you're just worried maybe about your kids' hearing, you know, sometimes kids don't do well in school, and you know what it is? Could be their eyesight, or
their microphone.
Or their hearing.
Oh, their hearing, yeah.
And Dr. Amy Arnold is at the hearing clinic, has some great evaluations that she can do for you. So you can call her at, and again, I have to get my eyes checked.
And we're making the numbers bigger in this issue.
248. Did I just snort? I did.
Yeah, you did.
248-881-3026. That's 248-881-3026. Man, I planned on having just the cleanest beginning to the show today.
You were doing real well. Derek, did you hit the snort button?
Get your hearing checked. It's important, especially as you get older, but yes, for young children too. So don't take it for granted that everyone can hear properly. Go to the hearing clinic and get your hearing checked.
It's the news you need to know. It's the hearing you need to have.
All right. So, State of the Union this week. Were you impressed?
Oh, man. You remember that thing I said before about, like, I'm not a fan of State of the Unions?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It changed your mind, didn't it?
Oh, man. That's how they're supposed to be done. He played them like
a fiddle.
Okay, a fiddle.
Yes. Yeah, that's American, dude. Those violins. That's all Euro stuff. You know.
Yeah, with fiddle. He had them dancing like puppets on a string. Oh, don't sit down yet.
I was. You know, he was professional. He was well groomed. It came off very nice. Mm-hmm. You know, and a 72 or 76% rating from CBS, and I think the CNN poll was way up there too. And if you watched any of those guys, they were besides themselves. The media was just horrified that they, just crazy. I loved it.
Oh, it was thrilling. It was just yeah.
I know, you know, some people are saying, Gary, you're such a Trump fan, blah, 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 he sucks. Whatever, you're never Trumper. You've got Trump derangement syndrome. You would have to be a complete moron not to say that speech was a good speech.
Yeah.
Probably the best I've seen. Better than Reagan. Anyway.
It was a mix. Yes, exactly. It's different to say better than Reagan. It's almost like heresy to say, you know, to compare Trump to Reagan. But, hey, you know. Bars are set, and then they're jumped over.
Yeah. Oh, exactly right. So I want to start with Ted Cruz had some good comments. And have you noticed Ted Cruz's beard?
Oh, yeah. It made him.
That should have his own Twitter handle, Ted Cruz's beard.
Like Bolton's mustache. No, it's made his appearance. I always thought there was something a little off about, you know, baby face or whatever. It makes him look dignified, statesmanlike, and, you know, it might have helped him get the nomination had he had it in 2016.
Maybe. Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe the future will tell us what's going on. But I want to start with that. Derek, you got track one ready, and this is Cruz being interviewed on Hannity, And I think it kind of sums up everything that I could say and just not say it as well, I guess. So let's go ahead and play what Ted Cruz had to say about the speech.
As we've seen in the past 2 years, the economic successes, the lowest unemployment in half a century, the lowest African-American Hispanic unemployment ever recorded, the lowest Asian-American unemployment ever recorded, the lowest unemployment for people with disabilities. I mean, it's a staggering record of results. He laid out the record on national security, rebuilding our military, defeating our enemies, defeating ISIS. And that is a testament to policies that work. But I think tonight we also saw just how extreme, just how out of touch the modern Democratic Party has become. You know, at lunch today, with the other Republican senators, I suggested to the newly elected Republicans, I said, look, my favorite game to play during the State of the Union. I said, number one, it's going to be good calisthenics. You're going to stand up and down and up and down and up and down. You get your aerobics for the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, number two, just spend your time watching the Democrats, watching their faces, the agony as they're trying to decide whether to clap, whether to stand. I mean, right up to the opening minute when the president is introduced, half the Democrats stayed sitting on their rear ends and wouldn't clap. You know what? Every time I was there for Barack Obama, I stood up and applauded, not because I agreed with his policies, but because I respect the office of the presidency. You saw just about every Democrat stay sitting, refuse to clap for the lowest African-American unemployment in history.
Yeah, there you go. So, and I found it odd that they would all wear white together.
They left the hoods at home.
They left the hoods at home. Exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, you know, and Nancy Pelosi, you could watch her. She was giving the hand signals or facial signals, whatever she was doing to try and control them. And it's just deeply disturbing to me that
they're empowered women. They need Nancy to tell them what to do.
What to do? What's feminist movement? Hello? Are you being controlled? Do you not have minds of your own? I wouldn't expect all of them to sit there and agree lock, stock, and barrel on the same stuff. Think for yourself. You couldn't stand up for the best employment figures for African Americans and Hispanics? And I say this on Trump on Twitter and on Facebook all the time. If you are against Donald Trump's economic policies, you're a racist.
Mm-hmm.
You are a racist if you don't like Donald Trump's economy, because we have more employment for people of color and disabled than ever before in history.
And remember this fact for a later discussion we're going to have today. Remember this about employment levels and income levels.
Yeah.
It's very important for a discussion we're going to have in a little bit.
Yeah. So, and then they go on, they talk about the extremism of the Democrats. And this is where I thought Trump did so well. He played them like a fiddle, like you said. Mm-hmm. You know, women don't want to stand up. But he finally got them to stand up by saying, you know, not only are women employment figures up, but we have the most women in Congress ever. And then they kind of like, oh, I guess we better stand up for that for yourselves, you selfish goons.
And then he says, and don't sit down yet. And they didn't sit down. They did what Trump told them to do. I loved it. I loved it.
Well, it's because they're used to it. Nancy tells them what to do. Yeah. So there you go. All right.
Well, she didn't know when to stand up or sit down, if you notice. She didn't know.
What was she reading? The oversized sheets of paper. Was that like the classical speech or something?
Exactly what I heard. I don't know if it's true, and I haven't been able to find out. I heard it asserted that Trump had given out a copy of the speech prior to the speech, and he didn't follow the speech. She's all thrown off, like, where are we? What did I miss? What part am I at? Now, I don't know if that's true, but it makes perfect sense.
I don't know, but it's perfect. Yeah. That's the ultimate troll, man.
Yeah.
He just trolled her bad.
Gotcha.
She couldn't hold a poker face, which, you know what? Right. Number one, you've got to sit up there with a poker face.
Oh, she's got that weird face where she just kind of like is sucking her cheeks in and chewing her cud.
But oddly enough, in the last few times she's been on television, and including that, you know, 6 months ago, she looked terrible.
Sour lemons. That's what it looks like. She's chewing sour lemon tablets.
Or sour grapes.
Yeah, well, that too,
yeah. Yeah, she looked terrible. And Gary's going conspiracy here. But what is it that makes these people be so terrible looking, and then 6 months later, all of a sudden, they look fresh right out the...
Botox.
Is it? Or is there something else?
Cocaine.
I'm just gonna put a. There's something else going on. I'll leave it right there because I'm not going down that rabbit hole right now. But Yeah, just amazing that the Democrats, the optics were terrible for them. If you can't stand and applaud for the good things, because whether you like Trump or not, whether you like his policies or not, there are good things happening in this country. And if you can't applaud that, you are as un-American as anybody could possibly be.
When's Joe Manchin going to put an R behind his name? He stood.
Yeah.
And there were some of them. I'll give even some of the women stood at appropriate times.
Alyssa Slotkin.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, we need to get her on the show. She's my congresswoman now. And I hear on Gruber occasionally. And I am oddly surprised that she is not the liberal, crazy liberal that I thought. I'm sure she's still kind of liberal. Her father, I think, was a Republican. So she's probably not as crazy liberal as some of these people. But we'll have to try and get her. I'll reach out and try
Gabbard,
and get her to come
Gabbard in Hawaii. What's her first name?
Tulsi again? Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard. She's having problems with the party.
Is she?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, if Howard Schultz runs, the Democrats are going to have a real problem.
What's the name of the movement again? The walkaway movement.
The walkaway. Go ahead, Democrats. If you can't walk to the Republican Party, then walk to the Independent Party. Because your Democratic Party has left you long ago. It is not the party of JFK any longer.
No.
It really isn't. And I'm hoping people like Slotkin or whatnot, if you're going to be a Democrat, be a JFK Democrat. You know, be a JFK with common sense and still pro-business and not a socialist, which is the way the Democrats' party today is. Let's basically admit that, right?
Well, they don't want to admit that. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to admit that they are the party of socialism.
And yet. All these presidents. You saw who announced her.
Oh, yeah, the Pocahontas.
Pocahontas today announced her presidential candidacy from Lawrence, Massachusetts.
How does she manage? I mean, after all the embarrassment, you'd think that she'd let some stuff die down for a bit.
She's going to run on the I'm sorry ticket.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I faked being a minority to get great jobs and get to where I am today, so please vote for me for president. Because
cultural appropriation, man. It's as bad as blackface. It's as bad as her wearing blackface to claim she's a Native American Indian. It's just that bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely crazy. If you want to call into the show, 734-822-1600. Love to get your comments on State of the Union or anything else that you want, because it is indeed your show as well as ours. But here's what crazy Maxine Waters went off on prior to the State of the Union. Derek, you got that track ready? All right, this is Maxine, who, like the crazy Democrats, did not want you, the American people, to see and hear the truth. So she went off the rails and said, don't pay attention at all. Don't believe your own eyes. Believe me, Maxine Waters. Go ahead and play it.
I don't even know why he wants to come and give the State of the Union. The State of the Union under him has not been good. And he has been divisive. And I think he's putting us all in harm's way. And so he is not worthy of being listened to. I don't know why anybody want to pay attention to anything that he has to say. He lies over and over again. Like I said, 6,000 lies have been documented since he's been there. I just can't imagine what he's going to try and say. But since he is a great liar, he'll say anything. Because he's capable of saying anything without facts, without research. And so I'm not looking forward to his State of the Union. And I hope that people will turn the television off.
Well, you know, she's a nutcase, guaranteed nutcase. But, you know, Chuck Schumer was making disparaging remarks before the State of the Union along the same lines that we can expect more lies from Donald J. Trump at tonight's speech. These were the things that were being said by prominent Democrats that were, man, nobody would say that, you know, from the Republican Party towards Obama.
At least not beforehand.
Yeah, not right. Beforehand.
Maybe at the speech. Yeah. Joe, whatever, Congressman
Joe,
whatever.
Well, you know what? You lie. Yeah. You lie.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But
was that the State of the Union?
I don't remember. It may have been something. I think it was the State of the Union. Pretty sure.
The one where was that the one where Obama called out the Supreme Court? I mean, you talk about disrespectful there.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope we have some time to talk about Supreme Court later.
Okay, well, then let's forget
to it. But
talk fast.
Let's talk a lot faster. It was a good speech. It went off well. The truth was told. Don't talk to me about Donald Trump telling lies. They did their fact checking and they found some things that he said he may have taken out of context or exaggerated, whatever. But the fact is, the economy is better.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, there is a crisis at the border. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, Democrats are killing babies.
Yeah.
They are killing babies, folks. And Northam is going to get away with this. You know, the other thing that kind of happened this week, and I guess we can get away from the State of the Union. Done with the State of the Union?
Anything else? I mean, it's pretty self-evident.
Yeah. This week, we had
the meltdown
in Virginia.
Virginia state government.
Yeah. I mean, the governor, black-faced and killing babies, so he's on the hot seat. And then
the whole blackface thing. You know how that happened, right? Let's be straight. He called for infanticide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we know that, right? But the next thing that comes up right after that is the blackface. And everybody was saying that was a mask to take the focus off the Democrats Party's
infanticide
position. But it was actually classmates of his from school that remembered that from medical school who wanted to basically do him in because they were opposed to his infanticide.
Right.
And so they're the ones that exposed his blackface, which is interesting. So then who piles on the blackface comments? The attorney general of the state, third in line, right? A Democrat. Yeah. He starts shooting
his mouth off
at the governor, right? Going to cost the governor his seat. And then the governor starts shooting at the lieutenant governor for some reason. Everybody thinks he's the guy that dropped the dime on the lieutenant governor, Fairfax, over these rape allegations.
Yeah.
So now you got the governor shooting down at his lieutenant governor after the attorney general is shooting up at the governor. And then, so who those two guys are going to be out of line, except for the third guy, the attorney general, who pulled the first shot, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Now it finds out he was in blackface. He shot himself in the foot. Yeah. But he doesn't think that's grounds for him to leave. It's grounds for the governor to leave, but not for him.
Not for him. Which leaves number four, Republican.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That could
never happen. And so never forget, what that boils down to is the hypocrisy of the Democrats. Because let's face it, they accused the Republican governor candidate in the last election of being a racist with that commercial, the truck with the Southern flag chasing the colored kids around, right?
Yeah.
The kids of color. And so, you know what? And then, of course, the liberals in Hollywood had to try and pile on. But you know what? Who's done blackface more than anyone? Liberals in Hollywood.
Ted Danson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joy Behar
and Sarah Silverman.
What I thought was interesting was watching Tucker last night and seeing this guy, he has on all time, who my wife says looks like Wallace from Wallace and Gromit. And that's all we refer to him now as is Wallace. I can't remember his real
name.
Who
was that?
He was a Clinton advisor, I think, or something like that, regardless of who he was. So Tucker's hitting him with all these things. So then basically now we get a Republican. The guy said, well, that's not right because the people spoke and they wanted a Democrat agenda. So what are you suggesting, sir, that we void the law that says when these three guys step down, the fourth person in line becomes governor? Is that what you're suggesting? We have a special election instead of following the rules because, they voted for Democrats. They should get a Democrat.
Yeah, and Democrats can't follow
the rules. That's ridiculous. That's despicable. Yeah. And whatever happened to the rule of law?
There is no rule of law under a Democrat.
Yeah,
socialist.
That's right.
Well, that's the way they're going. Mm-hmm. Socialism, right? It's that simple. And we're going to get into this Green Deal with Occasional Cortex's
Ocrazio,
yes. Yeah. Another good one. You got two, dude.
Well, I stole that, but it was good enough to steal.
Well, at least you admitted it, right? Let's see if we got a call here from Gary in Hazel Park. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Hey, I think we ought to put this blackface thing behind us by having a National Blackface Day where we can celebrate the wonderful contributions that the black race have given to America and embrace them.
During Black History Month.
Well, I guess you do power, right? Blackface was what? Popular from Al Jolson, right? God only knows why.
Well, before the minstrel shows, actually, Phil from Art of Michigan and Abolitionist Roundtable and I were talking about that a while back. You know, where did blackface come from? Now, I heard somebody say yesterday that, this was a slap at, I think it was on Joe Pags, was saying that this is a slap at blacks, you know, that Jolson was mocking blacks. And I think what they were trying to do was celebrate black culture and bring it to whites, but they couldn't bring the blacks themselves. Now, that's a hypocrisy, but that's not the artist's hypocrisy. You know, they're just trying to, they were playing black music for white crowds because black musicians could not. I think that's more celebratory than it is mocking.
Yeah, well, you could look at it that way, I guess. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Gary?
The truth of the matter is we have real serious problems in this country, like the suicide rate of our children, STDs, the rape culture going on across the border. There's real problems. And because some clown put on blackface 20 or 30 years ago, diverts the conversation for a week in our country is ludicrous.
Yeah.
I mean, just get the hell over it.
Yeah.
No big deal. The guy did it once or twice, maybe, and he didn't, like, run up and down the street chasing people or have a knife or nothing. He just stood there for a photograph. This is a non-crime.
And he said he was sorry.
It's not a crime. So what's the big deal? Really?
Yeah. Well, it was designed, as we said, to take the focus off infanticide, which is what the Democrat socialists are looking at now.
I was looking at some pictures of guys in blackface this morning that were much more recent. These guys were definitely wearing blackface. They had bandanas on. They were holding M4 carbines, and they had Navy SEAL tridents on.
Hmm?
Yeah, because it's part of their camouflage.
Oh,
camouflage. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's
okay.
Very clever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
The State of the Union was fantastic, though. The President of the United States is doing a fantastic job, and these Democrats just can't handle it. They just can't handle the truth, to paraphrase a phrase, because he's trouncing them. He's destroying everything they stand for, which America stands for. You know, well, reverse that a little bit. Because he is the embodiment of America right now, and the Democrats can't have it. They haven't stood for America for decades, a century even. And now that we have somebody fighting for us, they have to do everything they can to destroy him. And that's what Maxine Waters is all about.
You want the truth? You can't stand the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth, yeah.
Yeah. Well, great points,
the
Gary.
Truth you need to know.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate the call. Have a good one.
Is he threatening my job?
He might be. Maybe that's his...
calling in life.
Calling in life. There you go. So I want to be Derek. How much time we got? 2 minutes. Let's play that real quick. Let's jump down to Matt Whitaker. You got that one ready? This is what I love about Matt Whitaker. It's too bad he can't be our attorney general, but he got called in. There was some talk of subpoenas, but he agreed to come in and talk to the House Intel Committee. Go ahead and play that,
Mr. Chairman. I see that your 5 minutes is up, and so I'm. I'm here voluntarily. We have agreed to 5 minute rounds. And
the committee,
I think that's a fine place to end the 5 minute rule.
Talk about turning the tables on.
That's perfect.
That's a guy with a pretty large set of cojones to go in and do that. He doesn't take any crap from anybody, does he?
Yep.
It's just amazing that Matt Whitaker can do that. I wish he could become our
attorney
general.
Yeah, I'm not so thrilled with Barr. I don't know.
All we can do is wait and see at this point. You know, I understand he may not be exactly what we want, but you've still got to meet that threshold of at least 51 votes to get in. And, you know, there are some rhino Republicans who are not going to give us the attorney general we the people want. You know, so there's got to be something in there, and Trump can only
Flake
do so much.
McCain are gone.
At least Flake and McCain are gone, right? And that's a good thing. You know, I wanted to mention, did you see Kristen Sinema standing in applause?
Yes. Yeah, that surprised the daylights
out
of me.
And
yeah.
The other senator there, mm-hmm. Jacqueline, whatever her name was, you could see it. She's told her, watch your behind when she did that. So crazy Kristen Sinema wants to wear her stripper clothes to the Senate, which is all well and good, I guess, but at least she's honest enough to clap and stand for an ovation for the president when there is good news that should be celebrated, which, again, puts another person who's not marching lockstep with Nancy Pelosi and the crazy socialists.
And then, of course, there was Ocasio who just sat there with this look on her face like, I am not budging, I'm not moving, I am not smiling.
An unfunny donkey from Shrek.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. She's got that face. That's right.
That she gets as much attention as she does is crazy. So. Mm-hmm. All right, so folks, well, that's the heartbreak. We'll see you on the other side. You're making me forget myself. Let's take a ride across the desert.
People are always always headed somewhere. Driving to work, taking the kids to practice. How do they keep up on the latest news and information? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you have a product or business to advertise, your message can reach these listeners wherever they are. People tune to Wham! Radio for the latest issues discussed by hosts like Theron X, Steve Gruber, Dana Lash, and Joe Pags. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise with Wham! Radio and whamradio.com.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. Congress has less than a week to come up with the funds for a border security solution or risk another shutdown. Some Democrats say they're flexible.
I'm willing to take what the conference committee comes up with, and I'm willing to empower my Democratic colleagues to give a little in order to move the country forward.
Michigan Representative Dan Kildee on Fox. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is opposed to a border wall. Meanwhile, in Lawrence, Massachusetts,
I stand here today to declare that I am a candidate for president of the United States of America.
Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren formally announces her White House bid. And in Virginia, pressure mounting on Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax to resign over sex assault allegations. This as calls continue for Governor Ralph Northam to quit over a racist yearbook photo. Add to that, third in line, State Attorney General Mark Herring says he, too, once dressed in blackface. This is Fox News.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Chris Tangeman from Howell.
I had back surgery. I had to go there for like 3 or 4 weeks, and let me tell you, they were just superb. I'm in this industry. I'm an LPN, and I mean, they're just excellent. The aides, the nurses, everybody. I thought especially that their therapy department was just phenomenal, and I would absolutely recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney, now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Hines Park Lincoln wants to introduce you to the personal luxury dealership experience you deserve. How? It starts with their pledge that owning a Lincoln should be just as exceptional and personal as driving one. Hines Park invites you to personally experience their time-honored tradition of luxury service and hospitality at their world-class dealership serving all of Metro Detroit. Hines Park Lincoln is located in Plymouth on Ann Arbor Road just off of I-275 and online at HinesParkLincoln.com.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. You like that music?
No, I'm listening to your voice again. I'm still amazed at how different your voice sounds. You got a different microphone?
I don't know. Maybe they changed microphones. Did you? No? Derek's like, nah.
No, they were not changed.
Well, it's just my sulky, sultry voice on the radio today.
Did we fix the monitors? Because I can hear in both ears now. I just realized that might be what it is.
Well, there you go. So yeah. It's not my voice. You've got better ears. Well, let's take care of a little business. Diggett Services LLC, complete mini excavator and skid steer services. We all have some landscaping around the house or farm that needs to be done, and don't ruin your back like I do. Get Mike Kuzma at 248-789-7619. That's 248-789-7619 to come out and do it for you. He's got some great brand new equipment. It's wonderful stuff. He knows how to use it properly and could give you an estimate. So,
and he's insured, unlike you. You do it, you're paying.
That's right. So
Mike does it.
Call Mike, 248-789-7619. Okay, so we're going to talk Green Deal this half hour, and Ocasio-Cortez, whatever you want to call her, crazy lady, socialist, the ultimate. I think she's just a flat-out communist. I think socialism's too light for her.
That's right. Yep.
And this Green Deal, now you printed it off, so we're going to get verbatim from you from what this Green Deal is. But in a nutshell, the Green New Deal would eliminate all fossil fuel use from the electric grid by 2030. By 2030, forcing Americans to use much more expensive and much less reliable energy sources such as wind and solar. Well, let's be honest with you. When we had our polar vortex last week, at certain temperatures, those wind turbines can't turn. Mm-hmm. They got to be stopped. Otherwise, they risk flying off and breaking and causing all kinds of havoc. So polar vortex time, a couple of snowstorm with it to cover your solar panels. How are you going to heat your home?
Or the overcast.
Or just overcast days. How are you going to heat America's northern homes?
There's this naturally occurring phenomenon called nighttime. Now, if we can eliminate nighttime, you know, we need to work. There needs to be a government committee to eliminate nighttime. Not daylight savings time, just, yeah.
Well, let's just be honest because, you know, there is absolutely nothing that – the technology is not there. I know it's a lovely idea. I wish we could all put solar panels out, drive our cars with it, heat our homes, run our factories. I wish that were true, too. I do. I want that unicorn universe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just not here yet, folks. We don't have the technology. We don't get enough from the current solar panel technology to do it right.
And we don't have the storage. Think of the number of lead acid batteries or lithium that's going to catch on fire if that's what you want, you know?
That's what's keeping our car industry from going electric car. Electric cars are great. The technology's great. Battery is a problem. Mm-hmm. You can't store it long enough. You can't get enough mileage.
You can't dispose of them well either.
You can't charge them up fast enough. The technology is just not there. Not saying we shouldn't use it where we can use it to supplement the grid and do what – I don't want to pollute.
Be smart.
Yeah, I don't want to pollute more than we have to. But here in America, our coal industry, our natural gas industry for producing electricity is top-notch in the world. We don't pollute like everyone else does. Let's take a quick call from Tom. Wanted to hit back on the State of the Union real quick. Tom, welcome to the show.
Yeah, first I wanted to real quick, you were talking about that green revolution, which basically I think it's some kind of a distraction. You know, I remember when I used to, you know, drink, you know, and man, we became geniuses. We could always figure out how to save the world, you know? But then the next day you forget.
I did that on dope, yeah.
She must have memorized all that stuff, and now, you know, now she's got the genius answer, and there it is, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, and this is, I'm serious as a heart attack, I like internal combustion engines and things like that. I work on motorcycles, what have you. And I think that alcohol fuel is, I mean, there's a guy named David Blume, Blume. I've heard a lot of his interviews. He's been in the business a long time, and he's done a lot of stuff using alcohol in internal combustion engines. He also suggested in third world countries, actually half of the world is cooking, you know, indoors using everything from wood chips to dung. And it causes a lot of health problems. He said, you know, people, if they were able to set up alcohol plants and use it for cooking, it would really improve a lot.
Sounds like ethanol.
Yeah, but let me ask you. So when it comes to alcohol, well, let me ask you this first, because I've noticed, and for my small engines, my little lawnmower, my outboard motor on my pontoon boat, my old pontoon boat, I have to use the alcohol-free gas, go and find that, because it runs so much better. What is it, Tom, that makes alcohol not work in some engines or make them run bad?
Well, if you run – okay, the more alcohol you run, you have to retard the timing a little bit, and you have to have bigger jets in the carburetor because there's just more energy in a gallon of gasoline than there is in a gallon of alcohol. But on the upside, you can run a lot higher compression, and also the engine does not wear because there's no carbon in the alcohol, so the oil doesn't turn black. You know, and I mean, I've heard interviews of this guy I mentioned, David Blume, and I just, you know, I mean, he's got all the answers, and all I'm saying is this is something that I think should be researched because, you know, individual communities can have their own little co-ops. There's a federal permit and it's a free permit. All you do is fill out the forms. You have to qualify, like you have to have a locked gated yard, but you can make a 5,000 gallons of alcohol per year without paying, and as long as you don't drink it, you don't have to pay the alcohol tax. The IRS used to give a credit. One of the reasons I think that, gas prices haven't shot up too much is because the oil companies are trying to put the alcohol companies out of business. One other thing about using corn for alcohol, they're going to get about 300 gallons per acre of alcohol from corn, but there's other things like, for instance, cattails, where they get thousands of gallons per acre. I had it written down the exact number here, and I don't see it.
Well, that's one I'm going to. That'll be one I'll have to look up. Well, great comments, Tom. You left me scratching my head.
I was going to ask for Trump, and I was just going to wanted to say that, hey, my numbers are that the deficits are up 51% in this country, and we're over $22 trillion in debt. We can't hardly afford to pay the interest with the IRS income tax revenues. And so, I mean, that's the state of our union, but I guess that gets by them every time a president gives a state of the union. It's a political grandstanding rather than the real nuts and bolts of what we're facing.
Yep. Well, great comments, Tom. I appreciate the call.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Have a good one. Let's take a call from Tim in Westland. Tim wants to talk about Ms. Cortez. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a wonderful plan she has. If you're into comedy, I found it rather hilarious. But in the Constitution, there's a ban on religious tests for officers and everybody involved in government. What would you guys think about an amendment for a constitutional test for people running for office? Because to just come out with, and this thing is just a silly resolution, you may as well have written it on a napkin.
Let's say have them take a citizenship test. That would cover that, right? Let them take the same citizenship test that a naturalized citizen would have to take.
Do they actually teach civics classes anymore in high school?
No, it's called social studies.
They've renamed it for that reason. Plus years, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. They obviously should go back to teaching mm-hmm. some Constitution and some civics, because obviously they're the young people, and she's capable of, or the perfect example of, not understanding the Constitution.
Do you guys know, is she a college graduate? Did she go to college?
She has a degree. She has a degree in economics. There's something that makes me think, and I've heard some other people say something similar, that she's a fraud, that she's basically there as a stalking horse or misdirection. Something else is going on. Either she's a flag they're floating to see how many people would follow that flag, or there's something else going along that we're laughing at her and they're doing something while we're laughing at her. And yeah, I don't know what
I completely agree with that. But if she is a college graduate, I think she's got a case for malpractice.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. She ought to get her money back.
Yeah. For an economics professor, she knows, economics degree, she knows nothing.
Well, she was a bartender, right? She was a bartender in the Bronx.
Hey, I was a bartender once.
She knows
most bartenders know more.
Externalities.
Exactly. All right. Well, great call, Tim. Appreciate it.
Who we got next?
I'm not sure yet.
I would like to say something.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so one of the justifications for this new Green Deal, she lists them out in the, whereas, all these whereases. And one of the justifications is, whereas the United States has historically been responsible for a disproportionate amount of greenhouse gas emissions, having emitted 20% of global greenhouse gas emissions through 2014. And as a high technological capacity, the United States must take a leading role in reducing emissions through economic transformation. Now, that's flat out false. It's China and India that's putting out the CO2, not the United States.
Right.
So right off the bat, that's based on there's a number of false premises in here.
Well, I'll take umbrage just on the CO2 issue.
Okay.
Come on. You cannot put into a model and call it static, right? The more CO2 you put into the air, and you look through the geologic record,
the more CO2 you put in the air, the more the plants grow, mm-hmm. the plants make more oxygen, so it swings one way or the yeah. other. I mean, the Carboniferous era, right, when you had mm-hmm. ferns that were 10, 12 feet tall, right?
Yeah.
Plants grow bigger when they've got more CO2, and in exchange, put more oxygen back in it. It's not these people that want to call CO2. You want to talk monoxide and sulfur dioxide and all these other poisons that come out of our factories or our cars. I'm fine. Let's deal with those issues. I don't want to pollute the environment any more than anyone else. But don't tell me that the CO2 I'm breathing and my cows are breathing or my cat or dog is breathing is causing global warming. And let's face it. But the global warming is nonsense anyways. It's not global warming.
All right.
You know, you want to, it's not global now, it's climate change. Well, the climate's been changing for 4 billion years on this planet.
It's weather.
It's called weather. Yeah, exactly. Let's take a call from Ken in Livonia. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I just want to say regarding this Andreas Cortez, is that her name, if I'm getting it right?
Alexander
Ocasio-Cortez.
Cortez.
Okay, Cortez. Well, I'm praying, and of course I'm hoping that time will mature her, because when I was her age, I was just as big as a moron, an idiot, and nincompoop as she is. I mean, when I was her age, I was a bleeding-heart Democrat, bleeding-heart liberal, pro-abortion, the whole shebang. But then as I got a little bit older, I started realizing my conscience started speaking to me. First, looking around me, my conscience said, man, obviously a creator had to create everything. This universe around us didn't come around by accident. And then I actually started to read the Bible, a book that I thought was definitely man-made until I read it. And then when I looked at the moral teachings of Jesus and of all the moral teachings throughout the Bible, such as marriage and loving your enemy and things like that, it's like a bolt of lightning struck. And now I'm a Bible-believing Christian that has completely changed his direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So well, yeah, the so only you... thing I can hope is that she and people like her grow up.
Yeah, I would hope that too, Ken. But then, how do we explain Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah,
obviously they're still not growing up; they're still living in whatever fantasy world, well, and unicorns and rainbows.
Well, there are those who will never grow up. I mean, Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool in his heart believes there's no God." And what I attribute to those two people you mentioned, I have a sister and. Late 60s, and she still is a bleeding heart Democrat. And when my explanation is, you have two kinds of people. You have those who are capable of thinking rationally, thinking intellectually, and then you have the other kind that the way they think is pure emotion.
Yep, that's Democrats.
That you can give all the facts that you want, and they won't budge. And see, that's why, piggybacking on something you guys were talking about, I think we need to do a better job at, have a test to check out your intellect for voting. Because if you're one of these that votes with your emotion, I don't think you should be allowed to vote.
Yeah. Well,
that's,
great points, Ken. Well, I appreciate the call, man.
Well, you guys take it easy.
Have a good one. Let's take a call from Alex in Plymouth. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Ed. Good to talk to you guys. I was thinking that your voice sounded a little bit like that that old radio show, late night pillow talk. I might be wrong.
Alan Allman or something like that?
I think that was it.
That was it.
Yeah,
but not that I ever listened.
But anyway.
Great. Okay. Pillow talk. All right.
Okay. Anyway, if I sound like Al Gore, you sound like the guy from Pillow Talk. But anyway.
What else you got, Alex? You wanted to talk about the Green Deal.
Yeah, right. Well, it's sort of funny that they want to get there by 2030. And I think that sort of corresponds with the UN Agenda 2030. So there's a talk. Tie-in, but it's sort of suspicious.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, right. And also, people it seems like, Ocasio Cortez or whatever you called her. It seems like she's sort of lost the lessons of what France had just recently gone through and is going through when they try to be more eco-friendly and increase the cost of diesel fuel there. There was riots in the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically, it's a tax on working folks, and so the profits get diverted from the people that make fossil fuel and internal combustion engines to the people that make wind power and solar power.
You know, those technologies, that energy is three times more expensive than coal or gas. And let's face it, the people that will face the brunt of this kind of legislation will be the poor people because so much their income is small, right, from the beginning.
Right.
So if you're going to take more money from them to turn on their lights and to turn on their furnaces, you are going to hurt them more than you're going to hurt the rich, more than you're going to hurt the wealthy. So why are we even considering doing something that's going to hurt the poor and middle class? And that's what this will do.
Hey, Alex. Well,
because you're a socialist and a Democrat. and also another thing is that, you know, wind and solar technology gets to be competitive economically with the other fossil fuels, you know, it'll automatically happen.
Yes.
You don't need a government edict to institute it. The market will take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Alex, you know what the problem with socialism is, right? It's never been.
Go ahead.
It's never been done right. Fortunately, Cortez knows how to do it right. She's a brilliant young lady. She is, obviously looking at her background and things she says. She knows how to do it right this time. It's called hubris. She has this thing called hubris. Right. I've heard that's really makes you important.
Okay. Well, right. when she balances a checkbook, then maybe we'll give her a little more opportunity to do something.
Yeah, bingo. All right. Well, great call, Alex. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
See you, Alex. Take care. Let's take a call from Walter in Ypsilanti. Walter, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Hey, I got to have something to say real quick. As a side note, it's called a lot of blanks, and they're listening to these liberal whites and the liberal blacks. I'll shrivel up Sharpton and the rest on these breaks. These voices of foolishness are called in black gold, which is oil. And by the way, where's the Beverly Hillbillies where we need them? Okay, this oil and all these other natural, God-given, God-blessed resources we have instead of this foolish green energy made-up crap. These people are calling it environmental racism, especially against the minorities. And Gary, you touched off with it. If they go their way, it's going to hurt the minorities even the worse.
Yeah.
Remember Obama. Mm-hmm. Who can forget what Ali Obama said in the past? And it's, you know, the news media never exposed him on this. On
$5 gallon gas?
Under my plan of cap and trade. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Your electric rates will necessarily go up. And remember this?
Skyrocket.
Mm-hmm.
I think he used the word skyrocket.
I don't know if it's before he became president or during his first year, he said that he wanted gas prices to skyrocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a trip down memory lane. I remember they were $4 and something a gallon when Bush was in office, and then they started coming down at the end of his presidency, down to about 140, 180. By the way, you would have never need a stimulus check if the gas prices stay low, because that's a stimulant to the economy.
Yeah.
Because it's like a trickle down, it's like a slow effect on people's pockets when the gas prices and energy prices are so high. So that was when we got those stimulus checks from Bush. God knows, they call them fiscal socialists, but I tell you, I got one for my kids. And they helped out, but I tell you what, we didn't need it if those gas prices were low. And when Obama got in there, they went back up.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And they're hell bent on talking about energy. It's called transferred wealth.
That's exactly right.
Confiscating of our paychecks and our taxes.
Yep, they're transferring wealth, Walter. Great call, man. I appreciate it. See you, Walter.
Can I say this real quick, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Stacy, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, I'm just throwing it out.
Well, I would love to have gotten to that, too. All right, thanks for the call, Walter. Let's take a call from Joe in Wyandotte. Joe, welcome to the show.
It's about time.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Ed, you nailed it. Hubris. And AOC, Ocasio-Cortez pad, is the classic example.
Derek, you got that one?
Of our school system and Common Core. Pump up the self-esteem. No answer is wrong. Whatever you feel is fact. Classic example of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, she's operating like all the Democrats from the emotion, just like Walter said. And
Fantasy land.
It's fantasy. It really is. Come on, folks. Yep. Use a little, well, and you know what? Tell the truth. As Walter alluded to, Stacey Abrams' response to the State of the Union was nothing but lies. Mm-hmm. There was nothing wrong with the economy. How can you say the economy's bad? It's the best it's been in decades.
I stopped listening to her about 1 minute in when she just starts telling about her background, her parents, her this or that. I'm sorry. That has nothing to do with the State of the Union. That's just about her.
Yeah. What else you got there, Joe?
Well, the Green Deal itself, Tucker Carlson had on a guy who claimed to be one of the actual masterminds behind it and kept saying, Tucker would quote something and he would say, well, that wasn't in the original document. You're looking at a fake document that's being peddled out there. Well, excuse me, people took screenshots from the original websites and Ocasio-Cortez's site and... So we know what was in there.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't in there, why did they pull down all the original documents that they could then point to and say, go look for yourself that is or isn't in there?
Yeah.
Because, of course, they're lying. All that negative crap is in there.
Yep, exactly. All right, Joe, I've got one more call I want to squeeze in. So we'll
Love you.
Take care. And let's take a final call from Todd in Whitmore Lake. Todd, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you very much. Being squeezed is my middle name. Hey, I'm like a sun-kissed orange. Anyway, hey, let's go. Let's get the Green New Deal and get back to reality. Because if we go back and take a look at Cheryl Atkinson's full measure story on a lot of these green things, especially when it comes to the solar panels, and she did a story on the mandate in California, and how much garbage and junk that those solar panels disperse.
Mm-hmm.
It's very...
Toxicity.
Huge toxicity. Puddles and puddles of sludge and garbage that there is not an infrastructure for these items to be dispersed of. And we're polluting our United States with that crap.
Yeah,
like disposing of lithium-ion batteries.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you're right, because there is a cost to solar panels that most of these studies don't take into effect. How much it costs to build them, how much to dispose of them, how much to replace them, because they don't have an unlimited lifespan.
No, I mean, it's like this death fluid, the blue juice. It's urea that for the diesel trucks for a clean burning system.
Yeah.
There's no system and infrastructure in place to dispose of that.
Right,
It is contaminating the earth. So let's get on. Come on, EPA. What's wrong with you?
Great points, Todd. Great points. All right. We'll take care, man. I appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
Okay. And until next week, go to thedailydrift.com and currentonline.com. All right. Yep. See you next week.